If you will, this morning, take your Bibles and open with me to the book of Romans, chapter number 5. Romans chapter 5. I want to try to talk to us this morning on this subject, the contrast between two representatives. I realize that it is election time, and somebody is going to represent us whether we like them or not. So this morning I want to talk about the contrast between two representatives. Look with me, Romans chapter 5, verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, have abound unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Thank you. You may be seated. In these verses, the Apostle Paul is making a contrast between the life of Adam and the life of Jesus Christ. He's making a contrast between the disobedience of Adam, our earthly father, and the obedience of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Now, Paul does this, I believe, for at least three reasons. First of all, he wants us to understand that out of all of the people who will ever live on planet Earth, God sees you and me in relationship to one of these men. Amen. Listen. Either you are in the family of Adam, or you're in the family of Christ. All of us here this morning is connected to one of these men. Either we belong in Adam's clan, or we've been saved and brought into the family of Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul wants us to understand that. Listen, he wants us to understand this morning that in the mind of God, there is no black or white. There is no Jew or Gentile. Either you are part of Adam's family or you're part of Jesus Christ's family. That's the first reason I believe Paul wrote this. The second reason I believe that Paul penned these words and made this contrast is that Paul wanted us to see what we received in Adam versus what we can have in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Stay with me now. Listen, I'm going to tell you before I go too far. I'm in over my head right here. Listen, I'm trying to swim in deep water right here. Because this passage, this text here in chapter 5 has boggled the minds of men and women who are much smarter than I am. And so I need you to pray with me. Listen, Paul wanted us to understand, number one, that either you're in the family of Adam or you're in the family of Jesus Christ. The second thing that Paul wanted us to understand, listen, he wanted us to understand that, listen, he wanted us to compare what we receive from Adam versus what we can have in Christ. Now, let me just tell you, in Adam, we receive death. But in Christ, you can have life. In Adam, we receive condemnation. But in Jesus, we can have redemption. In Adam, we were separated from God. But in Jesus Christ, we can be reconciled to God. Paul wants us to make a comparison here from what we got in Adam to see what we can have in Christ Jesus. That's the second reason I believe Paul wrote this. But here's the third reason. I believe that Paul makes this contrast here to show every believer that no matter what might be happening in your life right now, because you have been redeemed, because you've been saved, because your sin has been forgiven, you have a reason and a right to praise God. Somebody should have said something right there. No matter what your worldly situation may be, no matter what you're going through in your natural life, if you've been saved this morning, you have a reason to praise God. You have a reason to be thankful. You have a reason this morning to shout hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Paul shows us this contrast, and I want us to look at it this morning, because listen, we've been in a series of messages from the book of Romans, and Paul has been doing his best. He's been laboring, trying to help us to understand the value of salvation. He talked to us about the wrath of God. He talked to us about the judgment of God. And then Paul talked to us about the blessings that flow to us once we come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, the question might be asked to Paul, how did we get in the mess that we're in?
Come on.
What happened? Listen, what happened before I got here that caused humanity to move from a garden of blessings to a pig pen of sin? How on earth, listen, what happened that caused us to move from a paradise to a pit? Paul tries to answer that question for us. Now here's the question that I want to lay on your heart this morning. And I want you to think about it. If you lived in this world and never sinned one time against God. Now, we know that's not the case. But think with me for a minute, because what Paul's tried to teach us here is, listen, it's a lesson that needs to be taught rather than a sermon that needs to be preached. If you lived in this world, Brother Harry, 40, 50, 60, 100 years, and you never broke one of God's commandments, you never violated one of God's laws, would you still need a Savior? The answer to that question is yes, you would. Because in Adam, all of us died. In Adam, all of us sinned. In Adam, listen, all of us fell away from God. And that's what Paul wants us to understand. He wants us to understand, listen, that because of what Adam did in the garden, all of us need a Savior. We were in the loins of Adam. Adam was our representative. You know how it is when your congressman or your senator sign a bill that you don't like, make a decision that you don't care for, but because he represents you, what he does affects you. Adam was our representative. Now Paul tells us three things. Don't miss this. Listen, keep your Bibles open. Paul tells us at least three things about our identification with Adam. You see, listen to me. This morning, either you are identified with Adam or you identify with Christ. If you're unsaved, you're still in Adam's family. But if you've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus, if you've been born again, you have been taken out of Adam's family and adopted into God's family. Three things Paul tells us. Now, I want you to catch it. First of all, Paul shows us clearly how we got into this terrible mess that we in. See, let me break some news to you. You was in a mess before you got here. Amen. Listen, you had three strikes against you before you took your first breath. You said, now, wait a minute, brother. How can that be? Well, listen, think about it in natural terms. There are some children, some babies, some innocent babes in a mess, not because necessarily of what they done, but because of what their parents done. There are some crack babies in Vanderbilt who don't even know what crack is, who never smoked any crack, but because mama was smoking crack, crack is in their system. Listen. There are some kindergartners who got financial trouble. They're living in a financial stressful situation who never had a credit card, who never signed a check. But because mom and daddy was foolish with money, they're suffering the consequences of it. The same is true with us and Adam. We weren't in the garden, but Adam represented us. And when Adam drove the ship off the dock, we were on the boat. Paul shows us, listen to me, Paul shows us how we got in the mess that we in. Look with me in verse 12. Watch what Paul says. He said, Solomon, he said, listen, wherefore, else by one man sin entered into the world. Now you need to underline that. Listen, if you're going to understand this difficult text, and it is difficult, if you're going to understand this difficult text, you need to note some things. You need to note, first of all, that from verse 12 to verse 21, Paul uses this one word, one, 12 times. 12 times Paul makes mention of one. By one man, watch this, don't miss this. By one man, sin entered into the world. Listen, Adam open the door for the mess that we're in. Adam started the ball rolling in the mess that we're in. From one man, listen to me, from one man, sin entered into the world. In fact, Paul tells us four things in this verse. Paul tells us by one man, through one act, brought one result, and it affected all of us. It's right here in verse 12. Look what he said. He said, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Now watch this, listen. Paul said, when Adam opened the door to sin, sin brought a companion with him. Let me say something to all of us who are living in sin against God, who's living in unrepented, rebellious sin against God. Every time you open the door to sin, death comes along with it. Something dies. Steve, I've experienced it. Listen to me. Something dies when we live in sin. Let me just give you some things that die just a little bit every time you sin against God. Your will to fight against it dies just a little bit. The longer you let that sin in, the easier it becomes to live with. Am I preaching this morning? Amen. Listen, not only do your will to fight it die a little bit, but your love for God dies a little bit. Every time you let sin in, something happens in your heart toward God. Watch this. Watch this. This ain't part of my notes. This is free. When I first got saved, listen, when I first got saved, let me tell you, I got a good dose of Jesus. Right down in New Hope Well. Back then they had what they called mourner's benches. They bring you up front. And it was almost like hanging a sign on your forehead that I'm a nasty, dirty, lost sinner. And you sat there before all the congregation. Back then, revivals are different from what they are now. Yes, sir. Back then, folks didn't have much to do. All they did was worked in the fields all day and took care of the cattle and raised five or six children and all the other stuff they did. But they still made time to make it to church. Amen. You have revival now, and you'd be lucky if the preacher that's preaching show up. Because folk don't care about church no more. Worship is no longer important to us. Listen, hearing a word from God has taken back seat to hearing a word from Oprah. But I was on that morning business, Ms. Doc, and listen, and I was there before all that congregation, and they were praying. Come on. Amen. Listen, they wasn't texting, they were praying. They wasn't on Facebook, they were praying. And while they were praying, the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, touched my soul. Amen. I venture to say that one of the problems in the church is that there's not enough folks who's been touched by the Holy Ghost. I got a good dose of Jesus. I won't ever forget. When I went out of that church that night, all I wanted to do was please the Lord. Amen. I didn't want to sin. I didn't want no part of sin. I didn't want nothing to even look like sin in my life. Come on. But something happens to us as time goes by. What ought to be valuable loses its value in our lives. And we begin to compromise with things. Listen, that old dog that the Holy Ghost ran out when he came in, we start letting him sneak back in. And we'll tell him, Fido, you can come in, but you can't stay. Listen, that old habit, listen, watch this. That old habit that we used to have before we got saved, listen, when the Holy Ghost comes, he kicks it out. But after a while, we start missing it. That's why the devil always trying to take you back down memory lane. Am I the only one that he tried to carry back down memory lane? Remember what this was like? Remember when y'all used to do this? Remember how this felt? And what happens, listen, Solomon, what happens is we begin to entertain again what ought to have been kept out. Paul shows us how we got in this mess. Paul said, we got in this mess by one man. Through Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Now watch this. And so Paul said, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Now, there are four or five ways to interpret this last part of this verse. Now, y'all stay with me, I promise. I'm almost finished. There are four or five ways you can interpret this last part of this verse 12. Look at the last part of verse 12, the last five words in the King James. For that all have sinned. We could say that all of us have sinned, and that would be absolutely true. Amen?
Amen.
All of us have sinned. But that's not really what Paul is saying. Paul is not necessarily talking about your sin, the sin that you committed. He's talking about the sin that Adam committed, and you were there with him. Listen, here's what Paul is really trying to teach us. Paul is trying to tell us that when Adam sinned, because we were in the loins of Adam, we were guilty of doing what Adam did.
That's right. Amen.
He proves that point in verse 13 and 14. Look at that. He said, for unto the law, sin was not in the world. I'm sorry, for unto the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Now, so what is Paul trying to teach us here? He's trying to show us that death is the result, not necessarily of your sin and my sin. Death is the result of Adam's sin.
Amen.
Death came in not when you sinned. Death came in when Adam sinned.
Amen.
Paul tries to show us how we got in the mess that we're in. Paul also tries to show us, listen, that from Adam we receive some things. Look with me. Look with me in verse 16 through 18. Paul said, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the free gift. For the judgment was by one man to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Watch this. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, that righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification. Now Paul says a couple of things here. He said, listen, Adam got us in this mess.
Come on. Yes, sir.
And when Adam brought us in this mess, he brought us in connection to some things. Listen what Paul says in verse 17. I'm sorry, in verse 16. He said, and not as it was by one man that sinned, so the free gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. Lord have mercy. This don't sound important. This don't sound like much. But Paul said, listen, because of Adam, we all was condemned to the judgment of God.
Amen. Amen.
By one man. the father of the human race, the representative of mankind. When Adam ate from that forbidden fruit, every one of us fell into judgment and condemnation. That's what we got from Adam. That's what we got from Adam. Not only did we get judgment and condemnation, listen, but we got a fallen nature.
Yes,
sir. I heard young people say sometime who had to grow up without their dad. They said, you know, my daddy had never given me anything. Yes, he have. He give you a sinful, selfish, self-centered, rebellious nature. Well, where did he get it from? He got it from his daddy. Who got it from his daddy? And you can trace it all the way back to our first daddy, Adam.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. I told you this before. That's why, listen, we don't have to teach a child how to sin. We don't have to teach a witness. We don't have to train a child how to be selfish. You don't have to teach a child how to lie. Now, he may learn how to lie better by watching you. But you don't have to train him. He's born. Listen to me. He's born with a fallen nature, bent away from God. And the only way to get that thing straight is through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, help me this morning. Watch this. Paul said that Adam brought us into judgment and condemnation. But then listen, Paul tells us something else. Not only did Adam bring us somewhere, but Adam made us something. Look with me in verse 19. I'm almost finished, so just hold on to your horses. Listen. Listen. Adam, our earthly daddy, the representative of mankind in the garden, he brought us somewhere. He brought us to judgment and condemnation. But not only did he bring us somewhere, he made us something. Look at verse 19. Paul said, "For else by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." That don't sound important, but it is, though. Because, see, listen, let me tell you why that's important. Because here's what I taught Marquita and Chris. From the time they were able to listen to me until the moment they got saved, I taught them that you are a sinner who need a Savior. You're lost, Chris. Listen, you're on your way to hell, Marquita, and you can't make it there on my shoulders. You can't get saved on my shoulders. You got to see Jesus for yourself. Listen, maybe Marquita and Chris were wondering, well, how did I become a sinner? It's not necessarily what you did. It's what your forefather did. It's what Adam did for you. When Adam sinned, all of us became sinners. Made us something. Amen. It made us sinners. Now watch this. Check this out. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners.
Amen.
Amen. There's a difference. There's a difference. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because by nature we're sinners. Listen, watch this. A dog bark because he's a dog. Amen. Listen, a fish is comfortable not on dry ground but in water. Listen, a fish can swim because that's what he is. He's a swimmer. And we are sinners, listen to me, we are sinners who love to sin. Now, Miss Brenda, I know I'm right about this. Ain't nobody saying nothing, but I know I'm right. Listen, we can sin with no problem.
Yes, we
We're sinners by nature.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Listen, that I know of, there are no fish schools where the adult fish teach the baby fish how to swim.
That's right.
They're born with it. They know how to swim. It's just part of their makeup. Listen, and for us as human beings, we're born with a knowledge of sin. That's what we got in there. But let me rush on to a close and tell you what we got in Jesus before all y'all go to sleep on me. Listen, Paul shows us that in Adam we got in a mess. But then Paul turns around and he shows us clearly who can get us out of this mess. Look at verse 15 through 17. Paul said, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. I like that free gift. You need to underline that. I like that. Because the very best thing that God had to offer, it wasn't for sale. God said, if I decided to sell it, nobody could afford it. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to make it available to everybody and call it a gift.
Amen.
Listen, Paul said, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, here it is, Jesus Christ. Paul said, how are we going to get out of this mess that we in? Adam got us in a mess. Now, who's going to get us out of the mess? Oh, thank God this morning.
Amen.
That what Moses couldn't do,
Amen.
What Joshua couldn't do,
yes,
what Abraham couldn't do,
right,
what Isaac couldn't do. Oh, there was a lamb,
come on, yes, sir,
seated at the right hand of God, pulled off his royal robe, stepped down through 42 generations, and he did for us, he fixed for us what Adam messed up. At the cross, Jesus solved this problem. Oh, that's worth shouting about, y'all. Yeah, who gonna fix this problem? Listen, here it is. Paul said, listen, his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. But listen, not only does Paul tell us who's going to fix it, Paul also tells us how he's going to fix it. Look with me again in verse 15. He said, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, here it is, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace. Listen, Paul said that Jesus is the one who's going to fix it. And here's the method by which he's going to fix it. It's through his grace.
Amen.
It's through his grace.
Amen.
I'm glad that salvation is by grace.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Let me tell you why I'm glad about that. Because if it was by money, the rich could have it, but the poor would have to die and be lost. If it was by education, the PhDs could have it, but us poor dumb folks would have to die and be lost. But all because it's by grace, because it's by the unmerited favor of God, every sinner can be saved. Every lost person can be reconciled to God. No matter what your problem, no matter how bad you've been, you can be saved this morning. But two other things that Paul tells us. Listen. He tells us who's going to do it. He tells us how he's going to do it. And then Paul tells us, or Paul shows us, the blessings that we receive if we let him do it.
Come on, come on, come on.
Look with me in verse 18 through 20. Paul said, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came unto all men, here it is, unto justification. We've talked about this word justification. And what it means, Brother Steve, it means that a sinner is made right with God. It means, listen, it means that God treats you like you never committed the sin.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Not only that. Look with me again. Look back a bit. Verse 17. For Paul said, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, underline that, the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, when Jesus died and we put our faith in him, God justified us. That is, God began to treat us like we never committed the crime. But not only did he do that, God clothed us in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And now when God looks at you, he don't see your filth. He see Christ's righteousness. Here's my last point this morning. And I really like this one. Because Paul shows us that we don't have to worry about the thing that God used to save us. Now let that sink in for a minute. Paul wants us to see that we don't have to be worried or anxious that what God used to save us is not big enough to keep us saved. Look at verse 20. Paul says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But now here's the good news. But where sin abound, grace did much more abound. Oh, thank God for grace this morning. Listen, here's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, listen, that God's grace is bigger than your sin. God's grace, when you stack your sin against God's grace, your sin might look like a mountain, but God's grace is much bigger than a mountain. It reaches from earth all the way to glory. The sufficiency of his grace. So I come this morning just to tell you this right here. If you're in Adam's family, you got some things to look forward to. Death, condemnation, judgment, and the wrath of God. To be eternally lost and separated from God. But if you decide that you want to move out of that house and move into Jesus' house, if you want to divorce this family and marry this family, listen, on this side you're leaving death and destruction and wrath and pain and sorrow and eternal misery. But if you come over here in Jesus' house, if you get in God's family, let me tell you what you get. You get grace. Listen, you get righteousness. Over there you got eternal death, but over here you got eternal life.
Yes, sir.
Listen, over there you got separation from God, but over here you get reconciliation to God. Oh, what a change can be made in your life this morning by just changing families.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's my little message.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Let me ask you, what family are you in this morning? What family are you in? Maybe you said, Pastor Anthony, I have to admit I'm in Adam's family. Dysfunctional. Divided. And I need a new family. God sent Jesus into this world so that sinners like us could be adopted into his family.